Seems like as of late that we've been getting a few little things done, not what I feel that we should get done, but we're getting some things done. There's so many things to do at Bethlehem. There is a few things on the boat that Tony and some of the brethren are getting done, and my brother Jim Smith is getting some things done on the vehicles. And Brother Clyde Cobbs, along with some that are working down there, getting something done on the top of the multipurpose building. They've just about got the lower part finished. And then Brother Tommy Clark has been getting some things done on the, get the rail work up. And Brother Richard the Jew has been cleaning up inside and out and been doing some painting, helping me. Brother David, he's been working down the trailer. Brother David Burden in the pier in the field doing some things. And Brother Hollis has been cutting down some ground and shifting some soil around, helping us get things straightened up. Brother Mike, he's been working on the ground some and helping us get the grounds in shape. And Brother Chris has translated, by now he's translated another book called The Little Glass Slipper. I'll just on and on and on. There's a number of them that's doing things. It'll take a little while to go through it, but different ones are doing different things and helping me. Some are working in the office. Brother Chuck is doing some things in the office there. And the layouts, and Brother Randy, he's doing some things. And the songs and getting the songs ready with a little Micah. Clyde has been terrific in it. He just went right in like he was born to do that and started doing work good enough for us to use to start with. And when I say good enough, I mean excellent. And then, of course, Brother Don's been doing some things in the light room, and Brother Stevie doing some things on the presses. And Brother Collins has been filling in on the cutter. He's been having us to do some things on the cutter. And just so many multiplied things that different ones are helping us to do. Others are going on with their offices to some degree. And Brother Jerry's still helping us keep the sanctuary cleaned up. So there's so many that are doing different things. Some are out on the job working, I believe, yesterday. I'm not sure, but seems like that Brother Bill was telling me there's around 30 men that was out there with the boys that was helping him. Some like Little Rich and I don't know who all, but they were out there helping some of the boys, about 30 men, and they worked, and probably Monday they finished their job up. So Monday they'll probably turn in about $3,000 or better to help the work of the Lord. And they say they've got another job that they feel will bring several thousand dollars that, the men will rally with them, that they'll be able to do something before the week's out. I'm so thankful for people. There's others that I don't mention a lot of times that deserves recognition, and we want them to have recognition. I had Brother Ron to call out the name of some boys the other night because Brother Ron had went out on a job, he and some fellas, and they had brought in about $1,200, and I had him to call some of the fellas' names out. We turn those names in so that they can get credit for what they're doing, because people support our ministry here and they need to get credit. One thing is for the income tax purposes and different things, different reasons. As a matter of fact, yesterday, Brother Jerry Mason, is it? Brother Jerry Mason called and said that he was going to need his slips for his income tax return. He's supporting a radio program over by himself, and of course all he has to do is just go through the system and Brother Taylor will give him receipts and that'll take care of it. But some on the home front here, they don't turn them in right, and it causes us a little problem. The ladies, I understand, is still working right along doing some things down there, and Sister Doris and them and the building there with the clothing. There's a number of ladies that's helped her so much. They've helped her. And Sister Frances and Sister Harper and them, they're still carrying on their work out in the little security building out here while Brother Gary and his wife, they're taking on their work pretty good now for that for the mail room and mailing out, and they're trying to keep things straight, and just on and on and on, different ones in different offices. Some of the ladies over in the other offices, it's packaging and fixing tracks up. But at the same time, we're still not really getting the job done like we need to get it done, because people are pleading for thousands and tens of thousands of pieces of literature, and we're just not meeting the demand like we need to meet the demand. We're trying to get ready to set a tent meeting or go overseas, and some, I mean, they're asking for us in both places, and we're trying to do that to where we can do a little more for God. They're making a few films along. I don't know how many of them we'll get to use for. TV stations or whatever, but they can use them for some of these. They can use for people who have asked for our video, even in California and different places. They've asked for it for schools, and we've not responded very much, though we advertise it. And people all around are curious. They want to know what's going on, and they want to be part of it. And they write and ask how they can be part of it. Somebody wrote from Malaysia and said they'd like to know when we're coming into that area so they can work with us in that area. And also Brother Owens, Richard Owens, came down from the Carolinas, and Brother Richard Owens was here in his big bluebird. He's got a beautiful 80 bluebird. And he was trying to contact me, and he went across the grounds looking for us. Whereas we were on the inside of the building, that is the house there, and some of the brethren thought that we were gone because our car had been taken off by Brother Richard Donalds. He was cleaning the car. So the brother left. I didn't get to talk with him. He left just as I was coming out. He's been here a number of times to talk with us, but we just haven't made the contact. Perhaps some of you remember the meeting we had under the tent with Brother Richard. It was an outstanding, overflowing crowd. And the power of God was really moving in that meeting. Some of you, I know, remember you were in it. And from that, he's built a big place there close to where we had the meeting. He's got a big church there now. And some of you perhaps remember Brother and Sister Green that comes to our meeting with regularity if we're in the areas of Carolina. I think they live around the Conan Gap. I don't know just where they live, but they go to Brother Richard's, and they feel like that out of this ministry, when they can get to it, that they get fed the way they term it as to the things of God that they're really hungering for. And talks like that, Richard is doing real well, and they enjoy going to the church. But people, they just like to get out sometime from the church and get into tent meetings. All right, there's numbers of people that are doing things in different capacities of the operation and of our ministry that we could say something about, but the thing is, there are some that's working and helping us, and on the other hand, there are some that's not doing anything at all. Out of all of this that I've made mention of, there are still those that are filled with lethargy and unconcern, and they do not give of their time nor of their substance, and they just kind of drizzle along, you know, dribble along. I mean, they really expect to get into the kingdom of God. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you've come into the knowledge of the Word of God and you haven't genuinely been born again, you're going to dribble along. You're not going to do very much. And you're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. Because I say again, you are chancing things, and you're taking chance, and you're living a life of chance. Whereas the Bible said chance happeneth to everyone. Everybody, chance happeneth to them. But that is to say that God gives you a chance in this, or God gives you a chance in that. And when you pass it up and you don't accept the Word of God to repent of your sins, number one, to find some water or a lake or a river or somewhere and be submerged or baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and go on to be filled with the wonderful Holy Ghost of the Holy Spirit of God, there's no need of kidding yourself or playing games. You're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. Or you haven't made it into the kingdom of God. And another thing is that you have to continue on to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just do those things as to be baptized and sit down and feel like I've been baptized in the name of the Lord. I've received the Spirit and I'm on my way to heaven, because it doesn't work like that. If you truly have been baptized in the name of the Lord to be buried in a watery grave with the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, it's not then you're living but Christ. And if it's Christ, you'll be ambitious. You'll want to do something for God. You'll push and you'll go on trying to read the Word and study the Word and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You'll do your very best to do that. Because if you have His nature, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter whether you're sick or well or feel bad or good, whatever, with the nails in His hands, with the crown of thorns upon His head, with the bruised feet and the back, He went right on doing the will of the Father, falling under the cross and under the weight, letting somebody come to help to let us know that we can give a helping hand as to His sufferings. But He went right on doing the will of the Father. And if we don't go on doing the will of the Father, it's to grow into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, then we're still not going to make it into the kingdom of God. So I say those things to try to say these things, and that is that there are people, even at Bethlehem, and numbers of other people around the nation and in different parts of the world that hears our voice, that are not living for God, and they're not planning to live for God, and they're not making any effort to go on with God. And religious people that supposedly are Christians really know nothing about Jesus. And it's our job to try to reach them, especially you people here at Bethlehem. We come off of the station, Atlantic Beacon, for a while. We was reaching a lot of people throughout the different parts of the world, even as far as Cuba. But the man that had helped get us on Atlantic Beacon, he's helped get us on a number of stations by introducing these stations to us and watching for the stations, because he's involved in that kind of work. He had got hurt a little bit with the people at Atlantic Beacon, and he asked me to come off as to strengthen his hands against anything that would be wrong. And of course I honored him. The things he told me, I honored him, and I came off. And the person that is in charge of Atlantic Beacon has not let us rest. They've called and talked to my wife on numerous occasions. And finally, I told them we'd go back on, so I signed the contract yesterday. So we'll be back on Atlantic Beacon. A lot of people. I didn't want to come off because I felt like that a lot of people would suffer from it. Even out of Cuba, it was said that that was real food for them. And you pray that everything will work out right. As a matter of fact, Brother Randall, immediately when something was said about going back on the Beacon, he wanted to carry, I believe it amounted to about half of the load every week on that station. I don't know whether I mentioned it to Betty or not, but he and his companion, I say his companion because they tell me when she found out, she was excited over it. So they are wanting to carry part of the load of the Beacon. You know, Brother Jim Kirk isn't with us now. He's over in Mississippi, and yet he's still with us. He's a governor. He's still part of the operation, and sent word a few days ago he wanted to start helping this financially if everything worked out good, that it was working in his favor. But Jim, while he was here with us, if you recall, he took a radio station with a regularity, and he kept it X amount of months before he left. He took it by himself, and he kept it and paid it the whole time. He never did let up on it. No one ever had to help with it. He paid it. So he reached many, many souls for God, and he has treasures laid up in heaven as having reached many, many souls. During that period of time, others hardly did anything, some of them, and haven't got anything laid up in heaven, whereas the Bible said lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt, for where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. And the Bible teaches that God will judge us according to the deeds that this angelic being of ours does while it resides in this body, in this world. We'll be judged according to our works and rewarded according to our works. GM gave forth much work on his job and some around here, and gave and gave and gave. And of course, God has given back to him as to his own church and his own people, as to his own income, his own way of not working if he don't want to work, or work if he wants to work. God has been gracious to him, and God blessed him with his children and spared his loved ones, and just so many multiplied things that God does for you of health and happiness when others were sick. And if Jim goes on with God, God will continue to bless him. But the Lord respected Jimmy so much that he made things work out that when Jim left, we was on the Caribbean Beacon. He made it work out so that when Jim left, that we come off of the Caribbean Beacon. At that time, they doubled the price, I believe it was, on Caribbean Beacon. Whereas we don't reach near the people on Caribbean Beacon as we do with Atlantic Beacon, and we reach the same people, as far as I know, with Atlantic Beacon Plus. And Jim, God didn't let anybody else carry that station. When he got ready to leave, just like that, they doubled it and we come off of it. So Jim had carried it the whole time. I thought that was real phenomenal myself. Others have contributed to our radio broadcast and to some of the TV broadcasts. And he hath, different ones hath done different things, and he, that is the Lord, hath blessed us in a great, wonderful way. Numbers of people that have come to this ministry through the radio broadcast, and numbers of them through the TV broadcast, never known of us before. As a matter of fact, it comes to my mind that Brother Don and his wife here in Little Family, they come to this ministry through the TV broadcast of CNN over in Upson County. And numbers of people have been blessed. Our few little efforts. And it makes me feel real bad because I, as an individual, haven't done more. I remember Joseph and our sister sitting out here. Joseph's wife, they carried a broadcast for us quite a long while. Over in Baltimore, Maryland, we'd been on TV and radio up in Pennsylvania, and had done some work in Maryland, Baltimore, that area. We'd been on the radio and come off, and they put us on the radio there. And as I said, Jerry's carrying a radio station that's over in Mississippi, and he talks like he's really enjoying it. People are listening. Different ones do different things. One might contribute to the ministry this way, another way. It has, had it not been for Brother Dahl and his faithfulness of staying with the boat X amount of years, several years, we would have had a great problem, but he stayed with it faithfully. And then after he left, Brother Chris, who is down with Tony right now, became very faithful and for a year or so has stayed with the other ship. And had it not been for these people willing to give up some of their life as to Christ and to make a sacrifice as to a missionary endeavor, or being away from church or being away from the people and still being loyal as to the people and to God, if it had not been for this, I don't know what we would have done. So to mention everything and everybody and what they've done, there's so many of them till it would take a long time to make mention of them. Randy working in the music, now little Micah, and that makes it real good because his mother, she is the one that does the musical end of it and has for a number of years contributed to our musical ministry. And the numbers of people have been inspired through song and have wept because of hearing these songs. Even Pete Pike, a cousin of mine, was telling me how that he, I believe, and his wife, they wept when they heard the children singing these songs. All right, I want to read a little bit from chapter 4 because, like I said, I could go on and go on making mention of different ones. And if Brother Pike doesn't make mention of you, it isn't because we don't appreciate and love you. We do. We appreciate you. And I sometimes overlook you. I don't see you. Maybe especially when the lights are on, they're blinding, and I can't see you. So I see Brother Ed this morning just coming in. He's going up in the balcony now. We're glad to have Brother Ed with us. But a lot of times I might not see you, or it might not register. I might look right at you, and it might not register. Got so many things on my mind. But we still appreciate you coming, especially you that come with a regularity to help support the cause of Bethlehem and to strengthen our hands here at Little Bethlehem. I appreciate so much people that give their time trying to fix a door, paint a door, or do a little carpenter work, or dig a ditch, or whatever it might be. I appreciate it so much. It helps so much. You're doing those things. It helps so much. I appreciate people like Brother Lynn and his wife in their office of carrying on the international affairs of Little Bethlehem, and so important that we touch base with them people that's in the foreign fields, because they get upset. Sometimes they really get disturbed because they feel like we're neglecting them and that we're being respected person. As to people on this side of the world, and as it is said, I've set you over the nations, Jeremiah, to pluck up and to plant. They feel like the ministry is sent to the entire world, and it is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and they feel like that we have done wrong, and some of them have done wrong, because on this side of the ocean, they can gather a lot of money, and over there, they don't gather much money, so they don't have too much zeal for that kind of thing. Strange thing about the other side of the world, I'm sure that you've noticed it, but God works in a way that He is called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and He has made the world so that it has an alphabetical trend as to ABC, from A to Z, as we say, and on one side of the world as to this side of the world, which is supposedly the Z, that is to say Omega, on this side of the world, in that salvation is of the Jew, it starts on that side of the world. Civilization springs out of Egypt from the hieroglyphics, the Rosetta Stone, and whatever. So on this side, we find it is an ending. Or this side, it is the Alpha, the Omega. So then on this side, we find it as an ending. Only when we consider it as a historical trend or transition. If we consider it as a historical transitional thing, then on this side we find the Omega. But when we reverse it, then we run it back the other way, we find out that on this side it is the Alpha and the other side is the Omega. Because in the historical trend of it, it is the natural pages of history as defined by writers and people that is correlated and people that have recorded. And it puts the Jew first. And then when you reverse it, you take on the angelic side of it as to the spirit, and you run it back as from the true Jew, which is the inward Jew, and then the unveiling as to shucking down the corn, as we say. Going back the other way, then it puts the Alpha on this side as to the heavenly perspective and the Omega on that side as to the heavenly perspective. Maybe that's a little hard for some of you to understand, but I'm sure some of you know what I'm saying. Anyway, like a convertible from the garden, man is perverted. That is, the top is let back, as we say. And from Calvary, then the top is pushed forward, is brought back to its originality, and man's in his upright position because he is converted from his perversion back to originality. So I said that to say this, it is quite a thing to know that on this side we are white and on that side they are black. On this side, when we have people to serve, as a rule, when it comes to the restaurants, we use the women. On that side, they use the men. Whatever we do on this side, as a rule, they do it the opposite. We drive on maybe the right side. Is it over here? I have to stop and think. And they drive on the left side. Whatever it is, whichever way it is, we drive on one side, they drive on the other side, because it's the Alpha and Omega. Always, always, it's that way. And anything that you search out in their life, you'll find it's just the opposite. So it's coming from darkness into light. And that is your historical transitional changes. But when you go to the angelic realms and you go down into the deep things, the Bible said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. When you get down into the deep things of the Spirit of God, then you find the angelic being or the spiritual man on the inside over here as the original, as the original. So then, whereas it moves from darkness to light over this way, then over here the Bible speaks of gross darkness covering the people as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So then comes the darkness on this side, and you find out that after the religious trend here, or even during the time of the religious changes here, that the light is within the veil. That is your intellectual understanding in your body as the outer man. It covers the inner light that's called the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. So to rend the veil, that is to say, as to take away the veil, then the light comes forth. So it's from darkness over here to light over there, because what can you say? Salvation is of the Jew. So it runs just exactly the opposite as from the inter-angelic being here as to the redemption of that of the black man, even the Jew. There's a black race called the Jews that are Jews. And even to the black man going over that way to redeem the body that is symbolically in darkness. And we have a few people from that country coming over here to show that redemption has come. Missionaries going into that country. So then the light here as to the white man here goes to the black man there. And as it moves from this country going over to that country, then we see the redemption over there just before corruption, because they're starving, all kind of moral decays. And of course, what can you say? It is said that Thomas, one of the great apostles, was there before he was here. So they had a chance. What can you say of Germany? It is of the great monk, Martin Luther, that we have the Protestant movement that is here in America today. And they had the gospel there before they had it here. So not receiving it there, they went into darkness. Now it's over here. We have it over here, and if we don't receive it here, then God will move it back over there, and then this will go into darkness. And of course it will go into darkness, because the Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And when you come to the understanding to where you're not in darkness, that is to know to do good and not do it, then that is the end of your world. You might live to be 100 years old, but it's the end of your world. God isn't messing with you anymore. Life is gone. The Bible said dead in trespasses and sin, some twice dead, plucked up by the root. That is the soul being dead. They don't even have a root anymore. So here in America, the light is beginning to go out. And darkness, gross darkness, intellectual reasoning, gullible desire for fleshly things, prestige. Everything that the natural man desireth, even Satan that saveth the things that be of the flesh. In America, all of the Gentiles, it is said, seeketh after the things of the flesh. So the end of the world is here. Now you say, how do you know the end of the world is here, Brother Pike? Well, signs of the time. Now, even at the door, and one of the things is that as long as people are cold, I say this to you so many times, as long as they are cold, that is, they are heathens, they do not know about God, they've not heard about God, they don't know nothing about God, then God will keep a missionary activity, God will keep things going, He will send preachers, He will keep the blood on the seat of atonement, He will be long-suffering, He will be kind, and He will be gentle, because men don't understand. He does not require of man what man don't understand. But if there comes a day when the gospel is presented, and then man doesn't make an effort to get it, that is called willful ignorance. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Then God will require it of the individual. So, as long as man is cold, God will grant mercy. there will be a world and there will be a blood atonement. And as long as men are fervent in the spirit, to be hot or cold, fervent and alive with zeal in God, God will bless them and God will give them the desires of their heart. And he will heal them. He will keep no good thing from them, not even their health. But he will make them healthy and strong and well. Whereas the Bible said, share with the needy and the poor, and your health shall return unto you speedily. A lot of people don't have health and they don't have the blessings of God because they don't share with the poor. They don't consider the poor. But the Bible said to share with them, and then your health shall return unto you speedily, and your light shall break forth and go before you, and your reward shall be that of God, and he shall hear even before you call. So, in delighting yourself in him, he makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. But we find that in following after the things of God, whether home or abroad, we have healing, we have salvation. The light springs up here. Great light in the end time is to spring up to them that have sat in the regions of the shadow of death. Light coming to you and I, and health coming to us by sharing. If I share, then I receive a blessing. God brings me a blessing. He brings me health. I receive the knowledge of God. My world becomes a great world of light. And we can have the blessings of God overcome because he will give it to us, making our enemies to be at peace with us. That is to say, America will not have the problems that she's having. He'll make the enemies to be at peace with us. And he will give us the blessings as he has in the past, to where we have everything and can lend to many nations and not borrow from any. Whereas we're fast coming to the place to where America's going to be made the tail, and she ain't going to be able to lend to nobody. She ain't going to be able to feed nobody. She ain't going to be able to redeem nobody because gross darkness is beginning to move in on her. If you want help, then share. Some of you people here have a lot of problem with your health, and it's because you're not considering the poor, you're not considering the needy, you're not giving yourself as to a living sacrifice to God that the light of Christ might show within you, that the others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I say all of these things and many more things I'd like to say, and a lot of things I'd like to detail even more, so that we would have a better understanding of God, a greater zeal for God, a greater drive for God, and be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of our life, so that we could be an inspiration to others. I want to read this fourth chapter. I started to read it a few minutes ago, and I got to seeing some things. I want to read it. The fourth chapter, it's the book of Micah. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all the people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. be in pain and labor to bring forth a daughter of Zion like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee. They say, let her be defiled. Let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thrash, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horns iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Yeah, I think most of us understand that this has to do with the Battle of Armageddon, and God is going to gather many nations against Israel, because there is at this time many nations that are against Israel. Many nations, they don't like Israel, even though they don't bother Israel much because they are afraid. But they don't like Israel. It is like Joseph with his coat of many colors. They didn't like Joseph because the father favored Joseph and had given him the coat of many colors. And they didn't like Joseph. Joseph was one that had obeyed the father. And the father loved him above the other sons, to the extent that he wasn't partial in his love, but he loved Joseph because Joseph was honorable and Joseph obeyed the father. So it is with Israel. Israel has tried down through the years to obey the father, even though God blinded them in part, and they are a mean, haughty people right now. Hard to get along with. You can't tell them nothing. Few of them that you can get converted. But because God hath blinded them, they are exalted, they are lifted up, they are contrary, but they're still the apple of God's eye, because God is the one that blinded them, because they tried to honor God. So is Joseph falling into the pit? They have seemingly fell into the pit. And no one seems to care. But anyway, it is speaking here of giving them hoofs of brass and horns of iron. Horns indicate power. Horns of iron, that they may beat into pieces all of the nations that God will gather in against Israel. God will one day take the bands off and let the foreign nations satisfy their greed and satisfy their wrath in coming in on Israel to beat Israel to pieces. And when they come in, the king himself shall return on the white horse in Revelation 19. And we will return with him, having been caught away before then. We will return with him, and we will be there when they beat in pieces and fight until they defeat the nations, and then take their warfare as to weapons or whatever that hath wood or whatever there would be for months to gather these things and to use them for firewood or whatever. So every man will, in the day of the millennium, after this great battle and things has been squared away, as we say, in the earth, after this, everyone that makes it into the millennium shall sit under his own vine. He'll have his own little piece of ground. He'll have his own vine. He'll have his own cattle. He will be able to milk his own cow. He will have his own honey and meat, as we say. Everything as to what God will have there will be for our behalf. Not that we will slaughter, for nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. But we'll return back to the garden way of life. And it'll be such a beautiful thing to see the animals as Adam saw them in the garden, as mankind has seen them. The Bible said that which is revealed belongeth unto man. The garden was revealed to man, therefore the garden belongeth unto man, and someday must be restored. The secret things belong unto God. But when we see this right here, he said he'll judge among many people, rebuke the nations that is afar off. He said, and the house of the Lord shall be established in the high mountain, and out of Zion shall go forth the word of the Lord, which means again, Jerusalem shall come into power and bring the millennium into view. For it is in the millennium that the house of the Lord will be established. It is in the millennium that Jesus will sit upon the throne, and all nations will say, let us go up unto the house of our God, and he will teach us of his ways. So then it is in the great millennium that we're going to see this happen. But the beauty of what we're doing today is that the spiritual house of God, as to you and I being lively stones, the spiritual house of God is being built up into a holy tabernacle for God. And Paul, as a wise master builder with the revelation of Jesus Christ, is putting those stones together as from his teachings, having had the revelation of the Son of God, he is putting those things together that he, not him, but Christ that liveth within him, might capstone that great, beautiful, spiritual city at the end of the way when the lively stones have been built and put together down through the church ages. So then this great, wonderful city is so great that it excels even the establishing of the house of the Lord over in the millennium. It excels to the extent that the house of the Lord that is established over in the millennium is not the celestial house as to the beautiful city of New Jerusalem coming down upon the earth as it will be after the millennium. But over here where you and I are, we're over Calvary. We're caught in here in this breach. But it's in this world that the great city, the pyramid city, is seen. It is in this era, it is in this transitional place that the great pyramid city is seen. And that is why that the revelation of Jesus Christ has come back at this time. See, it is in this place that this is. It was between Calvary and the church ages that Paul, being the great masterpiece, was caught up into the third heaven. So then to show Christ, even the Lord, at the right hand of the Father, and that a spiritual one had come back, not as Jesus, which body will come back in Revelation 19, but as Christ, who had come back in the person of Paul and had come back to the church. So where were the many members of that body? That is to say, Peter as a head representing Jesus to the Jews, and Paul as the Christ, even the revelation that lives today, being the overseer of the Gentile church. He said, I'm the overseer. And as the gospel was committed to Peter to the Jews, so hath God committed the gospel unto me, that the scripture might be fulfilled, that the light that sprang up has shined to the ends of the world, and all of the nations shall come to this shining. So then all of the world is coming to this liberty and this salvation that is shown forth over here in America. That is why it is considered the nation that is considered as of a people of light. That it is to shine in the regions of the darkness. That is to say, unto them that walk in the shadow of death. And the Bible said, great light has sprung up unto them. Even the day star, even the day spring from on high, has come to visit his people. So then we see that in this place that we're in as the church, that we are the very pyramid city itself. And the man said, or the angel said to John, come, John, and I will show you the Lamb's bride. And he took him into an high hill, and he showed him these things. And he showed him the Lamb's bride, even the city, the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And so then we are that city. We are the city of New Jerusalem. We are the lively stones. That's why it doesn't come back in the millennium. In the millennium, the natural part of it is there. As to the Jewish nations that make up the pyramid city, they are the ones. But if you remember, as it was in the Babylonian side of life, it could never be capstone. Whereas it will be as to the millennium that it might be glorified. But they, as the natural nations coming together, and all of those nations in a pyramid form, that is to say, the foundational part of it, and then moving toward the centralization as to the Lord Jesus, the capstone, which sits upon the throne. So when this is completed, all of a sudden, then it changes, the glorifying comes, and then the spiritual aspect of it comes, and you and I are the spiritual aspect. So then we're caught up before the great battle, the great siege. And then we ride over as the Noah, as the Ark of Noah, through the flood of His wrath, God's wrath, as from the old side of Calvary to the new side of Calvary, as God pours out His wrath on Jesus, who was the Ark, the door opened in the side, Moses the cleft of the rock. You understand what I'm saying? Riding over into the millennium, and then He sets down on the throne. We ride over, go by the way of the dressing room, come down to the supper. Over there, just as the great millennium sets in, the supper is called, and all of the slaughter that has been through the battle of Armageddon, He calls for the fowls of the air, and they come to devour. And we ride over all of that, and we appear there at the great supper of the Lord to be His bride. And there He sits upon the throne, and you and I, as a celestial people, join Him as His bride. Whereas the nations, that is, of all whatever, or the Jews, that will be a natural thing, and we will have the preeminence over them, and we will rule over them 1,000 years. The only difference is we will have access to the great city, New Jerusalem. They won't have access to the great city, New Jerusalem. They'll be in the natural. They can see us appear unto them and go away, even as angelic beings, or walk among them as men and fellowship with them as men, because we'll have our body. But on the other side of the millennium, we will then, when the millennium changes and the Jews come into their inheritance as to that, once all species has been restored and it becomes a glorified, a celestial substance, then we will be manifested as the great city of lively stones, whereas Christ, the revelation, will capstone that great city. And then we will have a chance to come in, because that will be the spiritual perspective. And we right now, being the spiritual perspective, we don't have any part in the natural way of life. That's why that I tell you people here at Bethlehem, and of course all of those that hear my voice that are of the household of God especially, I tell you that when you are interested in houses, and you are interested in lands, and you are interested in things of this world, and you're interested in businesses, and you're interested in money, and you're interested in your appearance, and prestige, and your bodies, and all these kind of things, I tell you that you do not have Christ's Spirit. I tell you that you've never been born again. That your mind is of the mind of the world and the gullible desire of the world. And if the love of the world be within you, the love of the Father isn't there. Which means you don't have Christ and you don't have salvation. Whereas the Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. But when you are born again, you lose sight of the world. You lose your ambition for the material things. You lose all sight of wanting to be anything in the world as the prestige or whatever. All you want to do is give your body a living sacrifice. All you want to do is deny yourself. All you want to do, there's another mind on you, on the inside of you, the mind of Christ, which is the Spirit of Christ. And that mind keeps taking your body to Calvary through self-denial. It keeps causing you to deny yourself. The Bible said, my disciples will follow after me, and where I am, there they shall be also. And so then you lose all of that. You lose all of that, and then you follow after Christ. You follow after Christ. When you become very aged, if you live that long, and you go to press your death pillow, and all of your ambitions are gone, you won't have any ambitions then. All you'll think about is meeting God and as to whether or not you're in the right condition to meet God. So I say to you again, all that have these ambitions of life, they do not have God. You may have an ambition to build an ark, as we would say, like Noah did. You may have an ambition to have a business. You may have an ambition to do numbers of things. But the only God people that you will find in business or those kind of things have an ambition for one thing, and that is to do the will of God. They feel God has placed them there, that is a ministry to labor that they might have to give, and not to gather to lay up. For as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little, even in the missionary fields, had no lack as to the hungry and the needy. In your way of life, you must be spiritual. If you are to be part of the church, part of the Pyramid City, if you're to come into that great celestial place with God, you've got to be spiritual. You've got to come into these things that God spoke of as being spiritual. Things, he said, that are not given to them that are without. Not given to them. So only to those that be of the household of faith does this thing come. Jesus said, Father, I pray for these that thou hast given me. I do not pray for the world, he said. He didn't pray for the world. Somebody said, well, his prayer's for the world and God's going to be merciful to the world. He didn't pray for the world. He said the world would pass away and all that's of the world would pass away. He said, I don't pray for them. I pray for these that you have given me, and I've not lost any of them except the son of perdition. He was predestinated to be lost. So then you're going to have to be spiritual. You're going to have to be spiritual. You're going to have to stay away from the things of the world. Get your mind on God. Come out of the land of your kindred. Don't look back into Egypt. Be forward with God. Don't let any opposition come before you as it was with the Red Sea that stood before Moses. Put your faith in action and walk through the Red Sea. God said, why stand ye here? Go forward. No matter what the opposition is, go forward. You don't consider the opposition. It's utterly impossible to do even what we're doing here or what Christians do through life. Even in an overcoming life, it's utterly impossible. But we do it anyway. We go on by faith. I never stop to try to figure out if I've got enough money to do this, enough money to do that, or can I do this, or can I do that, or will I be able to make it here or over there? I don't stop to do that. I go on by faith. I go forward because God gave me a promise. God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. If you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your seasons, and your leaves will not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. So see, I accept that. I believe that. I look on God, the Heavenly Father, as I do the sunlight, as the great day star. But he never changes. He's the same all the time. If I get into a cloud of doubt, I just sit still and pray and thank God for the great sunlight because I know it's there. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. So then I just sit there until the clouds roll back and the sunshine is just the same. It never changes. His attitude toward me is always the same. He never changes. And I just sit there and I watch for the sunlight to break through. The clouds of doubt, the unbelief, all of these kind of things that try to attack my heart, I don't mess with those things. That belongs to the world, Achanda. That belongs to them that's caught in the storm, Achanda, where the wrath of God will be upon them because of their unbelief. And when the unbelief comes to me and all these things come to trouble me, where the Bible said, let not your heart be troubled, when all of these things come to trouble me, I just sit there in faith until the clouds move away. Because I don't want the unbelief. I don't want the gullible desires of the world. I don't want the things of the flesh. And I just sit there till it all moves away. And then like these bright lights that's shining around me with the video here, then the light comes again. And the great, wonderful wisdom, the light of understanding, it begins to direct my path. The Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. If you call upon the name of the Lord in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. And blessed is the man that considereth the poor. The Bible says, blessed is that man, for God shall hear him when he calls and deliver him out of his troubles. You know, if you're giving to the poor, if you're doing something for God, when you get in trouble, and everybody runs into problems, when you get into trouble, you're going to find out that when you call, God is going to hear you, and God's going to deliver you out of your problems. So then the Bible said it shall come to pass that he'll delight in us in such a way that he will hear even before we call. God will actually hear before you ever ask. But the Bible said you don't know what to pray for. You don't know what to ask for. But the Spirit on the inside with groans and moans, searching the heart, knowing the desire of the heart, and what we need from day to day, maketh intercession for us. And God rewards us accordingly. So it's such a beautiful thing to be spiritual, knowing that we're that great city. We're that great city. We're here to do the will of God. We don't have any desire as to personal ambition. We're just here to do the will of God. And we're trying to do our very best for God because we're sons and daughters of God. And we make up that wonderful city. The Bible said, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the tabernacle of God. You're that great, wonderful building. Paul said, you're God's building. And as lively stones, you're laid upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders whose names are found in the foundation of the city, built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God. Even God, the Bible said he is a spirit that inhabits the praise of his people and dwells within the heart, richly dwelling within the midst of his people. And built up under this great mind of God, this great Christ, this great revelation, this great wonderful Jesus that in the natural will return as to the natural capstoning. But right now, we're privileged to have the Christ. We're privileged to have the building, the lively stones. Though you can't see them, they're like a diamond in the rough. You've got to dress the diamond. You've got to cut the diamond. You've got to put it through all of the different things it has to go through that it might reflect the glory of the great light and that it might give off the sparkle or the dazzling beauty of the fire and those beautiful rainbow colors that's hid on the inside. So then within you are Christ, and on the inside you are the covenant, that beautiful covenant of the spectrum that's so lovely. You on the inside, as we say, God put a rainbow in my heart. And so then the covenant, or the ark of the covenant, or the mercy seat, which is that of the blood, or that great throne upon which Jesus dwells, it is there on the inside, and that great radiance of the innermost light of the wisdom of God maketh our face to shine. And as Moses and as Stephen's and the others, it breaks forth and comes forth to where this wonderful light penetrates our outer being until we come to the change, the Thessalonian change, even the change that Paul speaks of, where the Lord descends from heaven with the shout and the voice and the trump of the archangel. So that is to bring the resurrection. It is obvious that as long as we have not come to the redemption of the body, that is to grasp the redemption, though the price has been paid for the redemption, though we've already been redeemed, as the song said, by grace divine, yet until we can come to the knowledge of that and then manifest the faith of that knowledge to change this body as to Thessalonians change, as long as we haven't come to that, as long as we're waiting for that, the resurrection of the dead cannot come. It's not possible for the resurrection of the dead to come. The transitional changes from glory to glory, from the inner man as to the outer shell, as the embalmer calls it, that coming as from glory to glory until we come to the last great places of the finale of God, or the great finals, as we say, coming to this as we move toward this until we come to the great finals, then that means that the resurrection of the dead cannot come. Because it's only when the light has reached the ultimatum from the kingdom of God within us as to the outer man to change it into the glorified condition of that of the purchased blood, even that that's called the purchased possession. Until it can come to that, then the man that is in the grave, his body lays there because his angel is not in the body. His angel cannot change the body. As it was said concerning them that's under the law, they could not be made perfect without us. That is to coming to the time when Christ would go down to the heart of the earth. But see, we see this again. They that are in the graves cannot find their perfection without us. And so then we who are alive and remain, we are the spirit of life. We are the spirit. As to your type, you've got your white man that is the life to the black man that's on the other side of the world. And the black man, that's why he goes through the things he goes through. See, and when they unite together as to the east and to the west, as it is said, America has said, Israel, we're behind you. See, and when they come together, they will conquer the world. That is the type, says to your flesh. But when it comes to the spiritual things, we are the spiritual angelic power of God. So them that are in the grave, they're dead. We are the life to them that are without. Them people out there that live in trespasses and sins, they are dead while they live. So we are their life. That's the only reason that God allows the world to go on. Somebody would say, God is love, Brother Pike. God loves everybody. God's letting this great thing go on because he just doesn't find that much fault with people. The Bible said that he despises their image. He's angry with them every day. If it wasn't for the church here, he'd kill them before you could bat your eye. The very day that Lot, being a type of the church, went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the very day he didn't even give them another day's grace. The very day that he went out, the grace was over and he burned the people. And Paul speaks of that as being a type. And the other writers speak of those things as being a type of the rapture of the church. So then we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the earth. We are the life of the earth. And the only reason that God lets that man eat, drink, and breathe out there is because the church is still in the earth. And the very day that the church goes out, read it in the book of Revelation. You'll find in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, the very time that the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, the very moment, that quick, that vial is thrown into the earth and lightning and thunderings and killings and all of the four winds of the earth turn to loose for a massacre to those people because they're dead and we are their life. So then he allows a religious light, a breakdown from this thing as to walking in the light of the city. A Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, as to a 34, whatever. That this great, wonderful God light, people refer to as this Pentecostal church. A lot of Pentecostals in the same places that Baptists are. But I'm speaking of the revelational Christian, the child of God, this great light. They're walking in the light of the city as it will be in that great day when the celestial world comes. You know, whereas the Bible speaks in the millennium of some being in the light of the city, some dwelling in the city, some being the very lively stones of that city. Lively stones, you're living stones, like a diamond, it sparkles, it glitters, it's got fire. God said, I'll remember you when I go to make up my jewels. As a man that spareth his son, I will spare you. So then I said that to say this, those people that are dead and those people that are in the grave, those people are dead without you and I. Their spirit is not in them. And though we be dead as to the body, buried with the Lord Jesus as in baptism, yet we are alive as the spirit because he never sees our outer man anymore from the time that we call on the Lord Jesus and we're born again. We are then Christ. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. He sees then the body as the woman and as the church, and he then sees Christ on the inside of you, and he's watching the Christ. He doesn't watch the outside anymore. The infiltration and the faults are gone by Calvary, by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And when you're born again, you accept that. And God begins to see you that way, and the angelic being on the inside is growing in the knowledge from glory to glory. He's growing from that little tiny babe of Christ, that divine conception, into the wonderful, glorious creature that he will be at the appearing of Thessalonians when the change comes, when the Christ returns with the shout to pick up the church. So then when we see this, we know that them people in the grave, they don't have a spirit. But we are their life. And we're moving more and more as to the inner man from glory to glory as to come into the outer man that his face might shine, that his genetics might be changed, that the creature or the body might be changed. And then with that, all of the environment around us will change into the millennium. Once we change into that, if it wasn't for the fact that God catches us up right away, the whole earth would change. Because when man got tilted on his axis, the whole world around him was tilted, and the sunlight couldn't properly strike the earth, and the briars came and the troubles came. Physical briars came as to sickness. We brought this out on tape. Natural briars came as to those thorns that was put upon Jesus' head. And spiritual thorns came as to the conflict of thoughts, that is evil spirits in the spiritual realm. So then we can see that when man got tilted, all of his environment got tilted. But just as quick as we get upright on our axes, as we say, if God didn't take us away, then all of the world around us would have to change. Because the glory of God would break forth from within us, and like a lamp, the light would go everywhere. See, so God takes us away just like that quick, so that it won't happen. So that the tribulation period can come in, and God can process. And then once the tribulation period is over, then we return in Revelation 19 on the white horses with Jesus. When we return, then the glory breaks forth. And when the glory breaks forth there at the beginning of the millennium with us, then all of the world will begin this change into the great millennium state of the glory of His wonderful way. So I said all of that to say this, that we are moving toward the change. When we get over to a certain place and the glory has completed its course as from glory to glory, as into the outer man, all of a sudden it will be denoted that Christ, who is hid from view, hath come to the surface. He hath come to view. Christ, who has hid himself in the heavens until the time of the restoration, then it is denoted that he hath come. When he hath come, it also denotes that he that hath come will bring with him those that have slept. That is to say, their spirits, having departed from the body at death, the spirit going back to God who gave it, is up there with God as angels in heaven. For in heaven they are all as the angels. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, ye that are angelic beings on the inside of this body of clay. You've departed from this body and you're now dwelling in heaven. You're already translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. You can't die. You've passed from death unto life. Your angelic being is equal to the angels. The Bible said the angels cannot die. And your body is not in the sight of God anymore. It is buried. It is in a watery grave. It lives no more. It is now Christ living as He foresees your coming image out yonder. And the Christ at the present time that's on the inside of you, growing toward the fullness of that image. So then as we move on toward the dead man, the dead woman that's in the grave, even the loved ones, they don't have a spirit. But when Christ comes back, He will bring their spirit with Him, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will rise first. The spirit will enter into them, and then we which are alive and remain will be changed. Because it is the spirit coming back with Him that shows that we have reached the ultimatum and that we are ready for our change. And it is at His appearing that we make the change. For at His appearing, that light makes contact with the interlight, and then the middle wall of partition that was swallowed up at Calvary as to the coming of the Father, that is folded up, it's taken away, or this blood genetic, or these blood genetics changes like that. So then the dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll come up out of the ground because the Spirit will enter into the dead, and we which are alive remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul's a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And the Bible said, console one another with these words. He said, console one another by telling them that they're not all going to sleep. They are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we could go on and go on and go on in saying these things that we're talking about, because as in every sermon, we've barely scratched the surface. But bit by bit, little by little, we are receiving the mind of God. And we are transformating in our mind, for we have been translated in our spirit. And we are reaching the transfiguration as to the change of our human form. as from glory to glory, because the instant change is to going into the kingdom of God is by new birth. And the day that you do that, you're already safe from death, even the second death, the lake of fire. And you pass from death unto life. And from that time, that innermost glory begins to break forth proportionally or by measure as to glory, perception to perception, until it forms the fullness of the mind of Christ, which is Christ within you, the hope of that glory, which is that glory that you're receiving bit by bit from glory to glory, as to change to change, as to inspiration, from every thought of inspiration to thoughts of inspiration. And it will break forth. Then when it breaks forth, it will be the transfiguration of the outer being, changed into the glorious liberties. That is the creature itself. Changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. So then we're on the verge of that. On the verge of that, the revelation coming forth in the end of the world indicates that the building is now built. And the church ages are now coming to a close. And that all of the lively stones have fitly been fit together. And that they have been built all the way from the foundation of the apostolic leaders, as to say, in the earth, there at Calvary, going up Jacob's ladder are the steps to glory through the church ages, built, till we've come to the Christ himself. And with the revelation of Christ on the inside, as it completes the body of the Lord Jesus as to that which is representing him, then once that is completed as to the revelation, that's the end. That's the end. Jesus' natural body will appear, and the Jews naturally will come in to show the natural framework, and the apostolic leaders as to the natural apostles will then be resurrected to show that the foundation is there. And all of these wonderful things will take place because we're just about right where it is to happen. The light is to break forth now from the capstone and the all-seeing eye as to the seer over the world, the one seer, even the body of the Lord Jesus. Paul saying, I being caught up to the third heaven, I being caught up, Paul said, not me but Christ. Capstone, the whole thing, once it came from the garden of the Jewish perspective down to Calvary. And then came the capstone crying, grace, grace, that capstone being Jesus, been represented by Peter in the earth. As to the Jew or the natural side of life, and the capstone being Christ, being Paul to you and I, as to the spiritual world, until they can come together. They had their dispute, and the veil was rent in twain as Paul smote Peter, because it was the Christ that smote the Jesus part. Finding it in fault, it was smitten to do away with the leadership of that natural earthly thing. For the Bible said the whole world is going after him. To bring it to the spiritual perspective, that it might be a new world, as America's called, as to the spiritual perspective of it and the things of God. And now we're coming down to the close of this age and the darkness of the intellectual reasoning of the natural body. And as we say, the Peter and the Jesus side of it is coming back in, and they're going to see the nail prints in his hands. They're going to see Jesus for themselves. Job said, though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and I shall stand in the latter day upon the earth, and I shall see him for myself, not another, but I myself shall see him as he is. All right, let's stand together. Just a few things in the way of exhortation this morning to let you understand and to know what Jesus is doing and who you are and how circumspectively we ought to walk, and how that we ought to honor God, and how that our conversation ought to be holy, even in heaven, as the holiness of God, and that we ought to walk perfect before him, to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And Paul said, as many as be thus minded, be perfect, or if you be perfect, be thus minded. Let's sing that little song. We haven't sung it in a long time. God put a rainbow in my heart. God put a rainbow in my heart. God put a rainbow in my heart. It looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore. God put a rainbow in my heart. Sing it with me. God put a rainbow in my heart. God put a rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my heart. Sing it with me, folks. God put His rainbow in my heart. God put His rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put His rainbow in my heart. I've got a rainbow in my heart. I've got a rainbow in my heart. When it'll look like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put His rainbow in my heart. Don't you want a rainbow in your heart? Don't you want God's rainbow in your heart? When it'll look like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God, can you sing it with me? God put a rainbow in my heart. God put a rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God, just one more time. God put a rainbow in my heart. God put a rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put His rainbow in my heart. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. If you love Jesus this morning, you'd love to have the rainbow in your heart. God's got a covenant. He's got His covenant. His covenant was the rainbow. And the little ark of the covenant that had the rainbow covering, the mercy seat that had to do with the covering cherubs, those beautiful covering cherubs that had to do with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, the covenant, the covenant. God put a rainbow in my heart. That beautiful covenant, God wants you to have it. That beautiful covenant, God has given it to you. You can have the lovely rainbow in your heart and the peace that passes all understanding. For God wants a rainbow to be in your heart, even His covenant of that beautiful, wonderful promise of eternal life. So that if you don't have eternal life, you need to get eternal life. I tell you again, don't wait to receive eternal life. Don't wait to receive eternal life, because you don't receive eternal life after that you depart this life. The dead know not anything. You just lay in the grave. You don't receive anything after you pass from this life. It's while you're living and while you're breathing that you have a chance to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And it's while you're living here that you have a chance to take His Spirit, which is eternal life, into your heart. For if you have not His Spirit, the Bible says you're none of His. You don't have eternal life. But now you can call upon the name of Jesus, and when you do, His Spirit that has been released from His body, even the blood-stained body that's sitting on the seat of mercy for you, yonder by the right hand of the Father, that Spirit will come through His name. For the Bible said, when the Holy Ghost comes, He will come in my name, the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, the wonderful Spirit of God. When you call on the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, eternal life, will come into your life and into your spirit, into your heart. And you'll find that you pass from death unto life. And brethren, your whole world will be changed. Old things will have passed away and all things will have become new. So give God a chance. Give God a chance. Don't wait too late. Folks, when you breathe your last breath, there is no hope after that. Once you breathe your last breath, you cannot get eternal life. There is no such thing as coming up in the judgment and God deciding whether you've been good enough or bad enough to receive eternal life. It doesn't work like that. It's true that we all will appear before the judgment seat of God to be rewarded according to the deeds that we've done in our body. But the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. It's not the minister speaking, but God, that He blesses or curses. He remits your sins or He retains your sins at the house of God. And you're baptized for the remission of sin, in that your sins are gone. You've accepted it by Calvary, the death of Jesus. Then you're buried in the lovely name of Jesus in water as an outward testimony that it's no longer you living, but it is the body of the Lord Jesus in the sight of the Heavenly Father. A Christian, to be Christ-like, to grow in His grace and knowledge, to be like Jesus, the song said. So then, if you've never accepted Him, if you've never made the commitment, let me encourage you to make it. That's what a minister's for, is to seek and to save that which is lost. To go into all the world with the glad tidings of great joy, to tell them that a Savior is risen from the dead, and in His name, and His name only, there's remission of sin, and you can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and have salvation before it's too late. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, I want you to think this over for just a minute now. Think it over. Just before we sing a song to give you a chance to come down to the altar, let's think this over now. Are you sure that you are a Christian? You say, how can I be sure, Brother Pike? By having His Spirit. If you do not have His Spirit, you're not a Christian, no matter what you think. So then your assurance of Christianity and salvation is that you have His Spirit. How then, Brother Pike, do I know that I have His Spirit? Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The child is known by His doings. Whatever you do, that's the kind of a life that you have. Whatever your nature is, as to a beast nature, then your image is a beast. Your conformity is of a beast. As to Christ's nature, then you are a son of God. As to a human being nature, then you are your human being. So, whatever you do, if you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father is not there. But if you have the love of God, follow Him, to love Him, to sacrifice, to self-denial, to go His way, to be wherever He would be, to do the way He does, then do you have Christ. So then, if you have His Spirit, then you will be Christ-like. They were first called Christians at Antioch, being Christ-like. You will talk like Him, you will think like Him, you will walk like Him. For how could a lion nature in anything act anyway other than as a lion? How could an elephant nature act anyway except as an elephant? Or how could a human being nature act anyway except as a human being? How could a God nature, as Christ Himself, God in the earth, act anyway except in a godly way? So then we add to our experience godliness and brotherly love and patience and meekness and long sufferings and all these things, temperance. And when we do this, the Bible said we're not barren, we shall never fall, for it proves that we have the nature within us. And if you have the nature, you cannot die. You've passed from death unto life. You cannot sin. The nature keeps you. He that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he is born of God. He cannot sin. He hath passed from death unto life. And shall never come into condemnation. So you see, at the judgment, all you're going to do is have God to make an expose of your inner man as to your eternal life that you've had since new birth. And as to the individual that denied the things of God, as to unbelief, and that their spirit is an angelic being of darkness and of the evil desire of this world. Satan, save us of things that be of this world, and of ugliness and of filth and debauchery, and of a low, degraded way of life. All right. Father, help us this morning. Forgive our sins, dear beloved Father. Help us. Take hold, because we don't have any ability of our own. We know it's by the great Holy Spirit that we feel right now. That wonderful, loving Jesus on the inside that assures and reassures that He's in there. Quicken us. Quickening us by His Holy Spirit. Be with us now, Lord. Let us do your precious will. In Jesus' name. Let's sing this little chorus together. Can we? I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. So be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. While we're singing now, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing it with me now. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride, sing it with me, we'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed spotless white. Now be ready when the bridegroom comes. While we're singing, I think it'd be good if all of us come down to the altar. Some of us get kind of lazy about responding to the spiritual things, and we just kind of sit back. And that's why that I give the altar call, is to bring people to God. Let people have a chance to come to God, and to let everybody refresh themselves in the Lord, because you need to be up doing something. Let's sing it again. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride... Sing it one more time. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing with me now. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride... Can you sing one more time? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready. Sing it with me. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. We'll be ready. Sing it just one more time with me. Are you ready? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Gonna be ready when the bridegroom comes. Can you lift your hands up with me? Let's close our eyes together. Lift our hands up. You want to be ready when the bridegroom comes. I told this the other day. My dad, working around somebody for years, dad gave his heart to God. He went back over to this certain place where he'd been there for years working. And there was a man that he'd been working with, a man by the name of Raymond, I remember his name. And he'd been working with him for years, and dad met him at a store there, and he said, Raymond, he said, you know what, I've come to know God, and I've given my heart to God. He said, why don't you give God a chance in your life? Why don't you consider and give your heart to God? And the man said, Sammy, said, I'll tell you. Said, I've been living this way so long, and I've done these things so long. He said, I guess I'll just go on doing these things and go on to hell. So I guess I'll just go on and do that. So as I said, as far as I know, he's in hell today. He went on to hell. But as I said the other night when I was talking to you about him, if he just had a chance, he'd change his mind. He changed his mind now. So don't get negative in your thoughts. Don't get careless and say, well, I'll take my chances, you know. I'm going to take my chance and maybe I'll make it in. Maybe God will smile on me. Maybe God will have mercy on me. Folks, he won't. He won't. I tell you in the name of Jesus, he won't. He's giving his grace to you right now. He's giving his word to you right now. He's offering to you while you're yet in your sins the blood of his Son Jesus. And right now he'll save you. Right now he'll come into your heart. Right now he'll forgive you. He'll show you grace and mercy and love such as you've never dreamed of right now. But don't wait, because it won't be nothing later. Won't be nothing later. Grace will be gone after a while. So if you've never repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name, do it. It doesn't matter what the world teaches. It doesn't matter what the world believes. What's that got to do with it? We are an individual. We're looking for the truth. We're looking for the truth. Why are we here at Bethlehem today? It isn't because the world agrees with it. Why are we in what we call holiness? It isn't because the world agrees with it. It's because we made up our minds that we're not going to die and go to hell for no one. We're going to do what we feel to do and let God come into our life. That's what we're going to do. See, and that's where you're at today. That's what you've got to do. You need to be baptized. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus. You need to repent. What difference does it make, the world says? The thing we want is eternal life. The world is going to hell. I don't want to go to hell with the world. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands. And I want to sing this little chorus with you just before we dismiss. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart. Can you say that now? Can you ask him to come into your heart? Are you asking the Lord to come into your heart? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come in to stay. Come in today. In today. And come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. One more time now. If Christ hasn't come into your heart, let him in, folks. Let him in now. Little ones, you little ones out there, call on him. Call on him. You're little, but call on him. Call on him. Men and women, call on him. No matter what age, call on him. Call on him now. Let's call on him again. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want you to bow your heads with me now. Close your eyes. Lift your hands up if you haven't reverently done what I ask you. Looking unto the Lord, the author and the finisher of our salvation. Taking every message as thoughts that's changing us from glory to glory. Every message as thoughts of inspiration that's changing us to glory to glory. I trust this morning that something has been said by the Holy Spirit. And I know if you've been listening, having ears to hear, that you've heard what the Spirit has said unto the church. I know you have. Hope that something has been said that would cause you to receive another glory, another thought, another inspiration, another unveiling, another touch from the Master Himself as to your inner man, that you are a little closer to home. Dad used to sing the song, "I'm nearer home than I was yesterday." While you've got your hands up, lifted up, your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Chris, if he will, to come up here and dismiss us. Would you come up here and pray the prayer, the closing prayer, Chris? Pray for Chris. Pray for India. Pray for that great mass of people. Almost, well, what can you say? Probably about a fifth of the world's population over in India. So pray for India. Pray that revival will break out through India in such a great, mighty way that people will be swept by the teeming thousands into the kingdom of God. Brethren, honor my words here. Honor the brotherhood, and you'll be a happy people. God will meet all of your needs. You'll be healthy, and God will meet all of your needs, and you'll be a blessed people. A blessed people, because I want to bless you. And when you come and stand at the altar in faith, desiring our prayers and our favor, you know, like the man said a few days ago, "I don't need nobody to tell me," he said. And off he went into a car wreck and like the lost his life. He really did need somebody to tell him. See, shepherd watches after the sheep. The sheep cannot guide themselves. They don't have that ability. It's given to the shepherd. So, in the mind of Christ, God gives a superior oversight as to the mind of Christ, in that the sheep can perceive that mind little by little as the shepherd indoctrinates them with it, and then they learn not to do the things that's dangerous that would let the wolf in. So we're talking with you and we're trying to help you. And we bless you. We don't curse you. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bless you. Without respect to person, we bless every one of you that will listen, that will perceive, that will receive, that will conform, that will surrender your ambition and your life and your desire. We bless you that you may be blessed of the Lord and have all these wonderful blessings naturally, physically, and spiritually, and that you may go out and share all of these wonderful things with many multiplied people that's in the world today that needs you to bless them. So then, let us be a blessing to you. Don't be contrary, because I tell you in closing, folks, if you are among us as Judas, if you are among us as loving the world, if you are among us as self-will, and with your own desire, determined not to help us, determined not to do anything to stand with us, determined just to be, you know, here and that's all, I can assure you one thing, that you're not going to be blessed and you're not going to receive the things of God. And you're going to run into problems that you've never dreamed of in your life, because you would have been better having never heard the word of God than after knowing the way of God, to turn again to the beggarly elements of the world, to be in bondage to it, and to have Satan to work through those things. Because if you love those things, he'll get to you, because he's got power over those things at the present, and those things are under a curse. And if you are going after those things, it's like the servant that was with Elijah, then you must have leprosy. He took leprosy because he went after the things of the world. And if you're going after those things, that means you've got sin unto death. And it means that you will not have the blessings and healing and health of God and the happiness. You will have the things of the world. And if you give to God out of those things, He'll give you a reward, maybe another dollar. In that you gave a dollar, He may give you $10, because that's your reward. And He will say in the day of judgment, you've had your reward. And you hold back from God of your time, of your substance. And in the day of the judgment, you'll find out that God will hold back from you, and He'll say, you've had your reward. While others shared, you made your own plans and went your own way and done your own thing in what you call your ministry. And now you're cut off because the shepherd is not speaking in your behalf. Because, folks, I won't be speaking in your behalf. You can take it from Brother Pike. I try to keep my word. And what I've told you I was going to do by faith, I've done it. And I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, on to where God's helped me up and stopped me, have I stopped? But I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, I will not present you to God. I will not, because you're not my sheep. But them that hear my voice and do the things I say to honor me, to try to walk with me, they don't have their own ministry and their own way of life, then I will present you to God. I will gladly present you to God. And I ask God every day, I pray every night, Lord, don't let anything happen to my children, my spiritual children, my natural children, my sheep. Don't let anything happen to my people, whether home or abroad. Don't let nothing happen to my people. I beg God, I plead with God, not to let anything happen, and not to let anything happen to your little children, your loved ones. I ask God not to let anything happen. But I know that all of you don't hear my voice. I know that all of you are not surrendered. All of you not follow me. I know that. I feel, even as I stand here, with the sacred feeling, I feel a man's spirit. And the man is a self-sufficient spirit. But he feels like he's called to the ministry. And because of that, he can do what Brother Pike... I'm just telling you what his spirit is showing. He feels like he can do what Brother Pike can do. And that he's got his own thing and he's just waiting. But brother, if that's true, why is it that God is revealing this to me as your spirit not being in harmony with mine and crossing my spirit and causing me problems? Why is it? See, it must be that you're not in harmony with me and with God, and you need to get right with God, and you need to get in harmony with God, and you need to get those things out of your mind, and you need to get in here with the brethren and realize that you're no more than the brethren. And if God's got something for you to do, then He'll bring it forth. Now, you might not believe it, but that spirit went down just like I had taken a candle and stuck it to wax. And you know what happened? The individual tried to act as though it was somebody else and that I was speaking to somebody else, so as to throw it off that I wasn't speaking to him. But it don't work like that, brother. I'm still speaking to you. It wasn't somebody else. It was you. So then, that's up to you. I'm thankful to be here. I see a great thing in the things that are happening. Even Chris, as we preach the capstone out of Christ, Chris, having to do with Christ, coming up here to this sacred dais, is the revelation coming up here, and him right now revelating or translating, coming up here right now, bringing his people out of darkness into light. I really see something in that. Okay, Brother Chris.